the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible.
Used to be off of them boats was Africans and ropes. Now what get off of these boats is pounds of coke or sex slaves.
Well, hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into a new episode of Talk Back. I am your host, Calvin Moore. And this time around, I have one of my favorite artists on the line with me, Derek Miner, to talk about his new album, which actually drops today. I'm actually going to, at the time you're listening to this, I just finished recording this, and I've already posted it, so yay to me for being very productive today. But we're talking with Derek Miner about Minerville, dropping today. You can pick it up on iTunes, anywhere that music is sold. What's up, Derek? How you doing?
Man, living life. I'm feeling really good right now.
Yeah, I bet you are. I'm sure you're excited about the new album dropping today, obviously.
Oh, yeah. It's super exciting, man.
Long time coming.
Yeah, man. It's been a lot of hard work, a lot of effort going into it. And, man, it's really rewarding, you know, just to I've been working on this thing since I was on tour, on the Unashamed tour. That's when I started working on it.
Wow, so, okay.
Yeah, so I took the long way of making an album, and that's just really just grinding it out, doing it every day, and filtering through, you know, the good music and the bad music. So I wish I could say I made good music all the time, but sometimes it doesn't wind up coming. Sometimes it doesn't come out how I picture it in my head, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it's a good thing, though. Yeah.
Anytime I'm for people who are listening, anytime that I end up making it backstage, or anytime that you come into to Detroit and we're all hanging out, I always see you kind of hanging out in that back green room, and everybody's talking and hanging out, and you're back, you're over with your headphones on, and you're making music. You're like Mr. Making Music on Reach Records, which I've always loved that work ethic that you've had for your music. But like you said, if you're making all that music, there's got to be some that you don't like and some that you do like.
And then it's also finding out what fits every album. Like, I think at this stage of the game, I don't necessarily make, like, bad stuff, but then there's also what fits and what doesn't fit. Because you got to think, I listen to a plethora of music. Like, I'll go from listening to Imagine Dragons to Donald Byrd or, you know, Coltrane, and then I'll jump to Marvin Gaye, then I might jump to the Beatles, then I might jump to 2 Chainz to see, you know, then I might jump to Jay-Z, then I might jump to, you know, I mean, I've jumped to One Republic. Like, it's just like I'm all over the place musically. So, like, I'll literally make 5 different beats or 5 different, like, compositions of music when I sit down because I like all music. I have an appreciation for everything, even country music.
And that's definitely one of the things that I think comes out very very clearly in your music of the past. I mean, I know you and I have kind of talked offline. You're like, hey, man, listen to the new stuff. It's kind of like old school Derek Miner is back. I'm like, yeah, but you've always had this kind of thing where I could tell that you appreciated music. And there were times where that led to an album not necessarily being cohesive. I really think that Minerville is a lot more cohesive than stuff in the past. But I could always tell that there was an appreciation for different.
Yeah, I lost you. You still there?
Are you still there? Can you hear me?
Yeah. You kind of cut out for a second.
Okay, I apologize. Hopefully I still recorded all that. But one of the things I was saying was I've noticed that your music, your love for music has always creeped into your music, whether it was a good album or not. Or whether you felt it was a good album or not, your love for music has always creeped out through your songs. Like, case in point, the first track on Lost in Minerville, I mean, it's called Lost in Minerville, it kind of struck me as kind of like this 1950s, almost Motown-ish vibe.
Yeah.
I'm liking that. And I'm from the D, so... Tadashi's D, the real D.
When they called Dallas the D, I was like, you're from Detroit? Like, there's no such thing. Dallas is not the D. Dallas is Dallas. So let's just, it's not cold in Dallas. Not so cold in the D in Dallas.
cold in the sheets, so cold. But yeah, definitely caught different styles of music in this project. And one of the other things I really liked about Minorville, and I want you to talk about this before we talk about the album directly, when you did Dying to Live, you kind of did some promotion for it, and it was kind of like the scary movie thing, and I didn't know where that was going. And in the end, I was kind of like, oh, okay, you know, you do what you have to do to promote the album. With Minorville, you kind of took a different approach. Obviously, you released Dear Mr. Christian, which we'll talk about in a bit, and then you've also released the video for Gimme, which was hilarious, and we'll talk about that. But you also did these kind of behind-the-scenes videos talking with the producers, and then also kind of doing some confessional videos talking about what was on your mind when you're doing this or that particular thing. Why did you choose to kind of go the behind-the-scenes route for promoting Minorville?
I guess where I'm at now, I think where I was at with Dying to Live, I was figuring out what type of artist I... So let's rewind. Blackout comes out, Redemption. Blackout comes out, I have no clue there's even Christian rappers. Like, I knew two Christian rappers. It was like, three. I knew the Grits, I knew T-Bomb, and I knew the Gospel Gangsters. That's it.
Okay.
And I had heard of Cross Movement before, but I wasn't really feeling their music like that. That's all. That's it. I didn't even know that there was, like, a whole culture, websites dedicated to it, and all of that. So, and also, like, unspoken rules, or, you know, you got the Jedi Council of Christian parrot rap. Like, I didn't know that existed. So I was just making music in its purest form, and I was making my music, right? That's all I knew. Okay. Then you fast forward to the next album, Redemption. I'm finding out there's a world out here, but I could care less about that world still, because I was being discipled and being rocked by the truth of the gospel.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then fast forward to Dying to Live, I'm knee deep in that world. I'm touring, I'm doing shows, I'm doing interviews, I'm going to Flavor Fest, legacy conferences, and meeting different people that are within that world. And now I have to think, crap, what in the world do I do to be able to function within this world? So Dying to Live was me really trying to figure out who I am. Now, I know who I am as an artist, but now how can I exist within this world, because it's foreign to me. I don't know anything about it. Like, I didn't grow up, you know, listening to certain rappers and, you know, mm-hmm. I guess semi-idolizing them and looking up to them. Like, I didn't grow up like that. I didn't know this world existed. You know, and I wasn't in certain circles, and I didn't know a lot of different, some of the Jedi Council, if you will. Right. So it's me trying to figure out who I am in this world. Fast forward to Minorville, I'm working a plan, and I hate that plan. I don't like where my brand is going. I don't necessarily like what people are celebrating about my music. Rather than celebrating the depth of it, people celebrating that I'm Christian anthem guy. So fast forward to Minorville, it's like, man, forget this world. Like I love, you know what I'm saying, Christians. I love the Christian hip-hop world, people that like my music. I love all my supporters and all of my family. But at the same time, it's saying, well, the only way that I can exist in this world is if I exist as myself and not exist trying to make music to try to please a certain demographic or make music to try to please a certain Jedi Council. Like, I have to make the music that's true to me, because if I don't make the music that's true to me, then I'm pretty much going to quit. So I think around before PSA 3 dropped, before I started working on it, I almost had, like, thoughts of quitting. And the crazy thing is, I'm doing shows every day. Like, I'm like, man, I can go out here and make a living. Like, I mean, I was eating as good as I've ever eaten, as good as I've ever ate. You know, like, I was doing well, like, far as doing shows and everything, but like anybody that knows me, music, the reason I do it all the time is not because I want to be the best. It's because I express myself. Like, and in that, that's why I want people to get from my music. I want you to understand my expression and feel me there. So, like, you listen to Dying to Live, it has elements of Minorville there. Before I Die, this Can't Be, Beautiful. It's record after record on there that has depths, that has the type of feel that Minorville has. Now the difference between that, Dying to Live, and Minorville is what's celebrated. So right. I made sure that all my singles that were celebrated, I made sure that they were records that I co-signed the content, and I made sure that the content was rich on this record. And then also, like, I did the behind the scenes, because I said, man, let's just forget the gimmicks, forget trying to please whatever demographic or whatever, and I'm just going to let the music and the art and the message sell the album. So if I don't have enough bells and whistles for you or whatever, that's fine. I'm totally cool with it. I won't take it personal at all. I just want you to hear the album, hear my heart, and if you resonate with it, rock with me. Like, I want people that's part of my movement that want to be part of my movement. Like, I don't want people that's part of my movement that don't really necessarily care what I got to say.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay. So, yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense to me. And I think that's good for listeners who are kind of on the fence or don't know where you're coming from to hear your heart behind that. Of course, you know, people hear what they want to hear sometimes. But anyway, so let's talk about the content. You first released Dear Mr. Christian, featuring D1 and Lecrae. I got to tell you, first, let me give you my impression of the song. I thought it was probably the most important Christian rap song that I've ever heard.
Wow.
Content-wise. I think that it is probably the most important. And then there's also, I think, Bizzle's Dear Hip Hop. And if I put those two together, content-wise, I'm like, oh, my goodness. But I actually played this for my pastor, because a bunch of us came from a suburban church out in Troy, Michigan. You're from Detroit. You're from Pontiac area. So
I know what you're talking about.
So we had a church in Troy. We've got 9 campuses, and all of our campuses are in suburban areas, and you know, Bloomfield Hills and Royal Oak and all that stuff. And we realized that there was this vacuum in Detroit. We kept sending people overseas, but nobody was ever going to the city. So we opened a campus in the city and challenged a bunch of us to actually move into the city. So we actually moved pretty much downtown, midtown, Corktown, all that stuff in the D. And so I played this for my pastor, and he was just floored by it, my campus pastor, because he was like, man, this is the kind of track that you can play for a non-believer, and they'll be like, I get that, and you can start a conversation. And it was really cool to play that for them. Now, on the flip side, you have people who are going, well, why are you bashing Christians? Why are we even taking the point of view of non-Christians? Because scoffers are going to scoff, kind of like haters going to hate. That's old school Bible. Scoffers going to scoff, haters going to hate. Why did you decide to release that track first, and why did you decide to write that track? Because it's pretty, I mean, it gets in your face with Christians about what we get wrong.
Yeah, why? See, here's the problem, in my personal opinion, with the philosophy that we can't talk about. Like, here's the thing. I feel like because I'm a Christian, I can say what I want to say. I can talk about the ills and the. It's just like being in the streets. Like, when you're in the streets, like, if a dude from the suburbs is talking about the ills of the hood, you're like, get out of here. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, I know what I'm talking about. I'm a Christian. And the thing is, I deal with these issues. So, number one, here's a couple things about Dear Mr. Christian. One, like, I'm not talking about everyone but myself. I'm talking about me as well. this song was dedicated to, it was dedicated to me too. Like, I'm having to remind myself, like, many times when I'm out, I'll look at somebody and say, oh, they tripping, rather than saying, there's levels to everyone. Everyone has different levels. Like, there's a reason. I don't think anybody grows up and says at 3 years old or 4 years old, when I grow up, I wanna be a dope boy, and I don't want to contribute anything but hate to society. I don't think anyone grows up and says, hey, I want to be a prostitute or a whore. I want to just contribute whoredom to society. Like,
right.
There's a reason that person goes from being a child that has big dreams to becoming who they become. And I think the problem with Christianity is many times we talk too much and we don't listen enough. So we're answering questions that aren't even being asked, rather than sitting down and saying, let me sit and listen and think, what's the question behind the question? Let me sit down and actually listen to what you're actually dealing with, because most of the time, the things that we see are just the surface level stuff that don't even matter. Like, most of the things we see are just symptoms of greater issues. So rather than us sitting back and saying, I'm going to speak to the heart of this person, but you can't know the person's heart unless you listen to it. That's number one. Number two is, the biggest problem with Christianity today is that we don't put out what Christianity is about. We put out Christianity, we push ourselves out. We'll say, oh, I'm not perfect, I make mistakes every day, but we only say that when we make mistakes that we can't hide. So when we get embarrassed by our mistakes, when we get embarrassed by our problems, then we say, why are you throwing rocks at me? I'm just a person just like you. Rather than talking about the mistakes, that we can easily hide. And that's the whole point of Dear Mr. Christian. The point of that is just saying, like, listen, number one, I wasn't saying sinners or people that, first of all of us are sinners, but I wasn't saying that non-Christians are better than Christians. That's not a Christian diss record. You just got to take it as it is. I'm saying the whole point of the song is just saying, listen, if you get offended by me telling you to listen, then you have a problem. Like, you have a problem. Like, if you have a problem hearing someone's perspective, a song from the perspective of someone who's not Christian, you have an issue. Because that's what God is asking us to do. He wants us to listen and value people. Like, the reason why a lot of times we don't listen to people is because we don't value what they have to say.
Right.
That's all the song is about, is value people. But then at the same time, it's like, it's bringing Christians, it's like people had this idea of Christians that were perfect. And a lot of times we set those expectations because we're not open and point blank with people. You know, it's dudes out here that'll sit, it's Christians out here that'll judge a person for being a prostitute, but them same Christians will be on the internet looking at the same type of girls at night. But that sin is easily hidden. So we're embarrassed. And that, you know what that is? It's because we understand doctrines of grace, but we don't understand what grace is, Calvin. Many times as Christians, we're too scared to come out and say, this is who I am. I am who I am. Take me for me. And I messed up. You messed up. Only difference is that Jesus Christ, I put my faith in him. We're too scared to, we understand what it means on paper. It's just like fantasy football. I can look at fantasy football and I can understand what the numbers are on paper, or I can understand football when I'm looking at my armchair and see what somebody should do. But when you're in the game, it's a little bit different. And
right.
That's the whole point of the song, is the reason why people get antsy because I don't paint Christians as perfect. It's because they're trying to hide because they're scared. They're scared many times.
Now, I thought something was clever that you did in that song, and I want to move on to Gimme because I thought the content of that was good as well. D1, who is an artist I've never heard of. As a matter of fact, you have a lot of artists on here. One of the things I love about Reach Records is you guys, you guys obviously have your label mates on there. Like, you do have Lecrae on one track, but other than that, there's No, there's no other Reach Records artists on here. You kind of introduce people to up-and-coming artists or people we've never heard of or people that should be heard, and I like that. D1 in Dear Mr. Christian, kind of piggybacking off of some things that you were saying, people that, you know, we don't want to hear their story, we just want to judge. D1 kind of takes on this Lil Wayne persona.
Yeah.
I mean, straight up, I was like, he's describing Lil Wayne, and I don't know Lil Wayne's story, but I'm like, if this was Lil Wayne's story, you got to think how many people are like, I'm not even going to hear the story. I'm going to look at the, you know, the tats on his arm, tats on his face, and the lyrics of his albums, and I'm just going to judge him. And I'm not going to sit down and say, hey, you know what? Let's grab a beer together. Let's grab a coffee together and sit down and tell me your story. Let me hear about who you are and what's brought you to, to doing what you're doing. And so, I mean, was that strategic that he rapped that way, or does he always rap that way? Because I've never heard him before.
Well, see, here's the thing is, Wayne's story, it resonates with a lot of people because his story is the same. So he wasn't necessarily talking about Wayne and rapping his story, but the reason why you picked that out is because that's the typical story of a guy that's just in the hood. Like, that's the story of somebody from Detroit. That's the story of somebody from Memphis, from St. Louis. Like, that's usually what it looks like. It's the same stuff, just a different day, like all around the world, same song. You know what I mean? So I think the whole idea was, let's rap from the perspective of somebody that's hood. And, you know what I'm saying, let's just talk about it. So that was the whole idea behind that. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. So let's move on to Gimme. I liked the video for that one. The fact that you were wearing the Jerry Curls wig is probably my favorite part of that whole thing. I'm not even gonna lie. it's funny because you're bald, and then you go to this greasy, dripping televangelist hair. Where did that song come from? Because again, I mean, you go in hard against, I don't want to bring up the whole, reform rappers versus the non-reform, Pentecostal health and wealth type people. But you kind of go in on that a little bit in Gimme. What was the purpose behind the song? Where were you when you were writing that song?
Yeah, I mean, no lie, if I'm going to be totally real, like, I wasn't even thinking about rappers or reformed or non-reformed. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, I don't really, like, to me, that whole argument and that stuff, I don't really, that doesn't drive me. Like, reformed, non-reformed, Pentecostal, non-Pentecostal, Lutheran, Presbyterian, like, I don't really care about that, to be real. And I know I'm probably going to get some flack for that, but, like, so when you hear my music, if you filter it through that lens, it's going to frustrate you because I don't really necessarily care about those types of debates. That's just not my passion. But at the same time, like, I think the song, when I wrote it, I'm sitting here looking once again at just individuals. Like, when I write my songs, I have people in mind. So, like, when I was writing the first verse, I'm thinking, dang, some of my little homies, little cousins, the dudes I grew up with, they're actually looking at rappers and thinking, if I could aspire to be that, then I will have achieved something and become somebody. And the cool thing is, rappers, they're successful. Some rappers are successful, and I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody saying, hey, I want to have a career in doing music and succeed at it. But when we let that define us and say, well, that's the only person that's successful, or hey, materialism is the key to success, like, I think then we have to readdress what success is. And I'm just looking at the world, like, I mean, dang, like, it's just people putting on more and more chains on their neck in every music video. It's like you just look so gaudy and ignorant. So, like, I wanted to address how silly that looks. As far as the whole, preacher Jerry Curl wig, like I said, I'm not, I, you know, I'm not sitting here trying to bash nobody's, trying to bash anyone's faith or whatever. I'm trying to expose wolves. Like people talk about, I didn't have a person in mind as far as a preacher that I was like a televangelist that's out. I didn't have a person in mind. I made a character. The crazy thing is just that character has a lot of similarities to what's out. Mm-hmm. And I just want to show how wicked that is. Like, anybody that tells you that your faith is directly tied to your money is a liar. Because that's not true. That's flat out a lie. And there's people that's caught up in that lie, that they literally think that the reason that God loves me when I make money. And, you know, people will tell you, I've heard people say, like, yo, a pastor was like, God's going to give you this house. And you see three or four things. Like, you see people go out here and get in stupid debt, and they buy houses bigger than their budget can stand, and then they lose it all and be in a worse position than they were before they bought the house. Or you see people that just can't afford to get the house, and they're thinking, dang, what happened? And then you hear the preacher say, well, it's because of your lack of faith, which is totally lame and whack. Like, that's ungodly. That's wicked to tell somebody that. Or you see people that actually get those things, those materials, and feel that God loves me more because I got this house. And the reality is God loves you simply because he loves you. That's it. Like, he loves you because he loves you. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just he's sovereign, he's all-knowing, and he loves you because he loves you. He loves you because you're his child. So, like, as far as the finances, it's like with me having a kid. Like, so if I give my son a whooping or if I give my son a toy, at both moments, my love for him doesn't rise or fall because I've had to discipline him, or it doesn't rise because I've given him a gift. Like, because I've given him a gift doesn't mean I love him more. I gave him a gift just simply because I decided to give him a gift. I love my son either way, whether he's getting a spanking or whether we're celebrating him. And I just wanted to point that out.
Okay. So let's transition here, rough transition. Mentioned a little bit about D1 because he was somebody I'd never heard. I actually looked him up when that track first came out, Dear Mr. Christian first came out. Lecrae is your only label mate on here. And honestly, the only other name I recognize is Canton Jones and Fizzle. And obviously RMG is your own label, so it's good to hear them on there. But there's also a lot of other people I've never heard of, JC, Diraj, Mel Washington. Hadn't heard of D1 before he showed up on this. Isaac Carrera?
Isaac Carrera.
I know his album just dropped out. His album just came out. I'm not mistaken, like Press Play or something like that. I can't remember what it's called. The only reason I know his name is because it was sent to me for review, and I still have not listened to that album yet. So sorry, Isaac, if you're listening, I have not listened. Kia, and I'm not even going to try to say this dude's name on We Are Champions. This is something.
Oh, we are Spazzy Rocket.
Spazzy Rocket. Okay. All right. There we go. But all these names are names that I think a lot of people are not going to be familiar with. Why did you choose to go the route of having people on your album that have not been showcased or heard before?
Because I wanted my album to be a unique experience, bro. I didn't want you to hear it and feel like, dang, like I got the same album from last time I bought Derek Minor's album. Like, I want this to be a unique moment in time. So, you know, I guess it may not have been the most wise thing in the sense of, oh, man, if you got all of everybody's favorite rappers on here, most likely, if they don't know you, they're going to buy your album. But once again, it goes back to, I want you to buy my album because you're invested in my brand and you're invested in the music. So, and also I want to shine a spotlight on people that I thought were tight that have never been heard before. So Daraj, crazy thing about him, this dude has been doing our artwork for the last year and a half. Hmm. And Doc, my business owner, me and him own Reflection Music Group. He's like, dog, did you know Daraj raps? I was like, whatever. Like, because I'm like, he's a graphic artist. So I'm like, I don't even know if I want to hear what he does. And Doc would send me stuff, and no lie, if Daraj is listening, I wouldn't listen at first. Like, and Doc kept sending stuff over and over again. And I listened one time. I was like, hold up. And this dude can spit.
Yeah.
So we was working on the record, and I was like, man, like, this dude is dope, but nobody's ever heard him. So let me try to shine some light on him. Kaya Lacey, she's from Nashville. She's like, we all run in the same circles. Let's see who else on there. Mel Washington. The crazy thing about that was I was in Reach Records. My homeboy Chad Pearson, he was hitting me up and was like, yo, you need to hear my homeboy Mel. So this song comes on, and I'm like, what in the world is this? It's called Whiskey Ben. And he's like, yo, it's my dude Mel. I was like, yo, what's he doing with it? Oh, this song, he just put it out. Like, you know, he ain't really doing nothing with it. Like, he's put it out on Bandcamp or something like that. I was like, what? This is a brilliant song. Like, see if he'll collab and let's work something out. And, man, Mel was so, like, we were excited. You know, his label was excited to work together with me, man. And man, I'm thankful for them for the record, man. They blessed me sincerely. And, I mean, I think the album, that really made the album complete. I think that was the last record Ready, Set, Go was the last one I did. Mel Washington, his record, Making Me More, was like the second to last record. But it really rounded the album out for me.
Yeah, I just looked him up. I'm looking at his album, so when we're done talking, I think I'm going to download it.
Nah, he's dope. Mel is dope. Like, co-sign his music. Like, his music is amazing.
I'm going to put him on the map. I'm going to make people know about him. I don't know.
There it is. Turn up.
Yeah, all right. So now we've got all these people on your album. The album is out. You've got an album release party at Unashamed 2013 coming up this weekend, which, by the way, I told you initially I might not be able to be there, but we will see. I'm waiting on getting the press passes. If I get the press passes, I just got a seat that opened up in the car because I'm not driving down there by myself. It's
turn up! Turn up!
So I might be there for the release party. Might be able to give you a high five, give you a hug. So now the album's out. You're about to do the album release party, all that jazz. Are you going to be touring the album on your own, or are you going to be waiting for a larger roster, Reach Records, collab kind of tour?
Man, I'm out here working, bro.
Right.
I'm out here working, man. So, man, just we're working on the Minorville tour, and it's going to be a different type of experience than the Reach Records tours that you've seen in the past, I believe. I'm trying my hardest to give you guys a different experience. So not necessarily better, just different. You know, I'm not, like, my dudes, we kill the game for our shows. You know, I love watching Andy, Tripp, and all of the guys on the label perform. So I guess for me, I'm just trying to do something different and try to bring something different to the table and bring my own unique flavor to the table. So
okay.
I look forward to showing people what's up.
So then, I mean, you mentioned RMG and Doc Watson and how you guys kind of own Reflection Music Group.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next plan for that? Because, I mean, you're kind of the head guy, so... And the cool thing about interviewing you is, like, I can talk about you and Reach Records, and I can also talk about Reflection Music Group. It's like, you know, you're pulling double duty. So what's next with this label that you're running?
So the cool thing about it is Cannon's album drops on October 15th.
Mad Haven, right?
So, yeah, Mad Haven. So go get that. It's brilliant. Like, he's he's grown so much as an artist and as a man. I'm excited to see what people think about his album. And then working on Chad Jones' record, working on some, you know, some records with him, working on some records with Tony Tillman. So, man, it's looking good, man. I'm excited. I'm excited. I think 2014, we've been tilling the ground and setting up a lot of infrastructure. I think within the next year or so, we're going to get to see some of that, like, come to pass. So some of the fruits from it.
I know people are waiting for another RNG album to drop.
And we're going to give it to them, too.
Okay, good. Now, here's another question, because everybody's all about collab albums. I love RNG, but people are also waiting for that next 116 album. Can you hint at anything that's in the pipeline?
Nope.
Is there anything? Oh, so you can't hint at anything that's in the pipeline. Does that mean there's something in the pipeline?
I can't tell you if there is or there isn't.
Well, see, if there wasn't, you'd just be like, no, there's nothing in the pipeline, brah. There's nothing.
Would I? Would I?
But yeah, you would. Why be all secretive? That's just gonna fuel rumors. That's just gonna be.
Oh, because I may just want y'all to stay tuned to everything that's going on.
Oh, okay. It's a branding thing. I got it. Got it.
Or there could actually be a record on the way. I don't know.
Or there could be. There may or may not. You're like a weatherman right now. Like it's 50% chance of rain. It may or may not rain, and I'll keep my job anyway. So, but hey, we've gone a little long, and so we kind of run out of time, but I love this album. We're going to post a review today. We're going to post the interview today as well. Where can people find your music? Where can people find out more about Derek Minor and what you're doing as an artist?
DerekMinor.com. Derek Minor, you get everything you need right there.
All right. Well, Derek, always a pleasure catching up with you. Hopefully I will be there this weekend. I was floored by last year's conference. I'm really hoping that I can make it to this year's conference because I actually had the weekend free, so that'd be really cool.
Look forward to seeing you, man.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that this album sells like gangbusters because it's really good and people need to hear it.
Well, yeah, man. When I wrote this month, no lie. Now, let me preface this by saying I do want to sell a lot of records. Like, that's the whole point of being in the music business. It's a business. So I do want to sell records, but the point of it is not necessarily selling records because I want people to say, oh, man, Derek Minor is the truth. But, I mean, honestly, man, I remember sitting there at my album. Like, when I completed songs like Homecoming, Sweet Dreams, songs like Dear Mr. Christian, songs like Gimme, I remember sitting back and saying, dang, these are going to help somebody. And that's the whole point of the album, man. So, like, if you really get the album, like, if you want to know my heart, like, that's the point. So, it's like, man, like, buy some copies, man. Give some copies. Give them away. Because I feel like at the same time, while it's a business, at the same time, though, you're going to be helping somebody. Like, I really feel like this album is going to help people. No question.
Sweet.
So,
Hopefully it does. And, again, hopefully I will see you this weekend and we can sit down and chop it up a bit more, all right?
All right, let's get it.
All right, I'll talk to you later, man.
That boy you call it a nerd, got a bomb off in his backpack. Plan to get revenge and leave a crater where his class at. I saw the sickest thing when Channel 4 News was on. A mama put a two-year-old inside a stove. We look at third worlds and turn up our nose. Got the nerve to tell God we got it on our own.